Welcome to Data-Driven Discussions. On this podcast, we explore how the world's top companies use data to build products, shape cultures, and lead to incredible business outcomes. By sharing this insider perspective, I hope I can help you use data more effectively in your company, among your team, and maybe even in your own life. This podcast is brought to you by Outlier.ai. We're a new kind of business intelligence company. We monitor your business data and notify you of unexpected changes. It's like having a human business analyst that works 24 hours a day, 7 days a week for you. If you're interested in learning more, please visit our website, outlier.ai. I'm Sean Burns, the CEO of Outlier, and I hope you enjoy our podcast. And today I'm joined by Michael Katz. He's the CEO and founder of mParticle, which is a leading data collection platform. And I would try to explain what that data collection means, but Michael, you do a better job. So tell us about what mParticle does.
Absolutely. So we provide modern data infrastructure to the leading brands. Some of our customers include Airbnb and Spotify and Venmo, PayPal, amongst many others. And we make it easy for them to collect, control, and connect their data to all the different systems that they use to ultimately drive growth.
Very cool. And so normally on the data-driven discussions, we're talking about experts in a specific industry and how they use data. But I thought this would be a great opportunity since you work with so many big companies and you watch their evolution, I imagine, from not really having a good sense of data to becoming data-driven. I'd love to hear about your experience. So like you said, you work with some of the biggest brands that we know. How do you want, like, what happens when they start to use a tool like mParticle and start to use data? What is the evolution they go through and how does it change their decision-making?
Yeah, so it's a multi-dimensional approach that we take to helping solve some of their challenges. The two sides of ultimately the same coin are really around identity and integration. So first thing, and I'll actually start in reverse order, is around integration. So the ability to seamlessly connect their data to lots of different systems through a single integration point, that being mParticle. And with that, unifying the various forms of identity from, you know, maybe like an internal customer ID to an email address to IDFA or Google Ad ID and potentially various like third-party IDs or cookie IDs, whatever it may be, resolving that to a private and consistent identity framework. And what that allows us to do is when we're sending data to various systems, in many cases, we're also able to get data back from those systems. So we're not only writing to various APIs, but we're reading from those APIs, recapturing the exhaust data from various email systems or attribution systems or various marketing automation tools, and getting that data back into the system, recycling it, and getting it back out to an analytics system. So ultimately what we're doing is creating interoperability within the stack. So step one is like making it really easy to integrate lots of different tools, but then step two is ensuring that those tools can talk to each other, because there's natural limits or ceilings that most people hit as they use individual tools. So we're trying to create a situation where the whole is greater than the sum of the parts, right?
Totally.
And the only way to do that is to make sure that these disparate tools that they're using to create their best in breed stack are talking to each other.
Sounds good. And so I'm curious, these companies, before they're using mParticle, they probably don't have any of this kind of insight, right? They have a bunch of different data in different places. Maybe they don't collect it at all. I don't know. So when somebody starts using mParticle, one of these big companies, what kind of decisions are they making with this new data? What are they using it for, and how does it change how they're operating?
So one of the first things that we'll do as we start to engage customers is to help them build a data strategy. And what that's comprised of is a very tactical and prescriptive data plan, right? And so when we go through the exercise of capturing data, it's really designed to track or to log data with the intent to distribute it to the different tools that they use, right? And I know that kind of sounds like a crime, logging with the intent to distribute, but you know, it's really about building a level of thoughtfulness into the data that they capture, right? You don't need to capture everything, but you want to capture everything that matters. And so,
how do you decide what matters? That's a good question, because honestly, you could think about almost everything, every piece of data being useful in some way. So how do you sort through the chaos and pick what's important?
Yeah, so we typically start at the finish line and work our way backwards, right? We look at what are the data points that are required to calculate the the KPIs by which they measure the health and the success of their business. We look at various marketing activities. How do they think about segmentation? What are the various engagement triggers? What are the tools that they use today? And ultimately, what do they envision the stack evolving to over the next 3, 6, 9, 12 months, right? And so you go through that exercise and you can create a fairly comprehensive, if not exhaustive, data plan that will allow them to effectively capture all of the data that they need once, that then powers all of the different activities, all the different tools that they use.
And I'm just fascinated about how transformational this must be for these companies. Do you have any examples you can tell us or stories about the before and after? So a company that you started working with where maybe they didn't have everything, and afterwards now they have everything that they can need to know, and how it changed how they operated?
Yeah, I think Postmates is a great example. We've been working with their growth team for past, call it, year and a half or so. And before mParticle, they started to see a backlog of demand for new tools. So part of the complexity that we're solving, as I mentioned, is integrations. On web, when it comes time to integrate a new tool, adding snippets of JavaScript to a website, not super complex. But as you know from Flurry, getting an SDK integrated into an app can take weeks, if not months, or in some organizations, longer, right? And so when you think of, you know, the modern growth stack being anywhere from like 6 to 8 different tools, when we're talking about consuming probably like half a year to a year of development time, which is a pretty much a non-starter for most, if not all, engineering organizations, right? And so there's
really, I have spare engineers just sitting around doing nothing, so I need something for them to do.
I wish. Don't we all wish, right? And so there was a steady backlog of new tools that they wanted to integrate. So the first thing was, you know, just getting through mParticle access to all these different tools and creating consistency in what the data was saying across various tools, right? Because one of the things is that if you have multiple tools capturing data at the point of origin based on their like proprietary methodologies by which their data collection mechanisms were created, you're going to have lots of variances, and trying to reconcile those variances is a rabbit hole that I don't know how deep it is, but I know it can take up lots of cycles, and I don't know kind of where it gets anybody at the end of the day. So one of the things is kind of building in consistency and having a single source of truth, and then, you know, easily onboarding that data to lots of different systems. And so guys like Postmates have made it so that they can integrate data into, I think they're using 14 different tools as part of their growth stack. But then they've also built internal systems on top of mParticle to drive personalization and better user experience. And so I look at them as a really great example of what you can do when you start to build the proper data foundation, right? Because I think the challenge that a lot of people get into is they treat their data reactively, right? You have an issue with your app crashing and you need a crash reporting solution, so that gets implemented. And then you want to optimize your organic user experience, so you implement a product analytics tool or two or sometimes three. And then you want to drive user acquisition strategy, so you need an attribution vendor. And then you want to keep these people engaged, and so then you need to implement a marketing automation tool. And next thing you know, the app is bloated and data is sitting in lots of different systems, and you're not resolving your mobile users to your web users, and everything is just fairly chaotic. And so being mindful and not being reactive and being very disciplined about how you go through that data collection and tagging process is, again, really the foundation for scalability and future success.
That makes a lot of sense. And to your point, I feel like most data tools, they're buy before you try, where the amount of effort to set them up and start using them is so high that you're basically committed to using them even before you know if they work for you. But as you're saying, with tools like mParticle, you can actually try them out, which actually I think that's an important lesson, which is if you can get to a point where you can try out tools and see what works for you, you can actually figure out what is the right formula for you, what tools do you need, and turn them up and turn them down without spending a lot of time and trying to commit before you really know where they're going to go. But I suspect, and you tell me if I'm wrong, that at some companies there's going to be internal resistance because there's certain people who don't want you to know that there's inconsistencies in the data, that they don't want people to realize that whatever they've been reporting for the last 6, 9 months is inaccurate because they're fearful of their jobs or there's politics involved. Do you ever run into that resistance to data because the transparency actually will make some people look bad?
Right, exactly. Transparency does breed accountability. And in some cases, you have certain stakeholders where they like to hide behind that opacity. And I think that, you know, we've seen that from time to time, but that's a short-term approach. Like, that is not sustainable in the long term, right? Because especially in successful organizations who are really very dynamic in their approach and have to constantly add new tools and are constantly evolving their techniques to drive growth through both marketing and analytics, trying to maintain the status quo doesn't work, right? And if that's all you're trying to do, you're going to be set up for failure. And, you know, that timeline may vary. That may only last 3 months. It may last a year. We saw this more in the early days, and it was actually more of like the engineering org who didn't want to implement something like mParticle because they liked holding the keys to the kingdom and keeping the marketing org and the product org at bay, saying, you know, you have to basically like beg, borrow, and steal to get what you want into my release. What we do is we ultimately like democratize access to data and make it easy to drive growth and in a sense create less engineering dependency. And so, you know, whether it's people who were kind of hiding behind lots of conflicting data because of kind of what that would uncover, or engineers who effectively enjoyed that position of power, you know, what we've seen is, you know, while that has been somewhat self-serving for certain folks over a very short period of time, like that's, again, it's not sustainable, you know, in terms of creating alignment. You know, what better way is there than through a system like mParticle? Because ultimately, on one hand, you have the needs of the business users, the marketing and analytics teams. You have the resource constraints on the engineering side, and then you have the product team who's trying to maintain equilibrium between both sides. And so ultimately, you do need to get buy-in across all three groups. But then when you do, everything starts moving much faster.
Yeah, it's so interesting for me that everybody wants to democratize data, but sometimes you don't realize what it actually means in terms of everybody being able to see everything everywhere, which, you know, sometimes it's because you're hiding because it's bad data. Or sometimes, you know, in a lot of cases we find with Outlier, you don't want the CEO to get some sort of data insight without the context around it, because there's important information that goes along with it. We've done some episodes with examples where, you know, you're running a specific ad campaign or you're doing something specifically behind the scenes and it changes the numbers in a certain way. And if you don't know what's going on, it can look really bad or really good. And you need that context to interpret it. So democratization also needs to come with that kind of knowledge. But kind of on that theme, are there any anti-patterns? Are there any fundamental mistakes that you see companies make when they try to upgrade their data game, put together a data plan, use a tool like mParticle and really try to get their act together, things that they should avoid?
That's a good question. No, I mean, I think ultimately what we're trying to do is correct bad behavior, right? You know, it's almost kind of like, you know, moving from an unhealthy lifestyle to a healthy lifestyle. I think the thing is, like, you're not going to see immediate benefits. Like, everything isn't going to change on day one, right? Just like eating healthy, right? But over time, what you're going to see are compounding effects where things that were nagging at you, carrying excess weight in terms of the app and being slow and not being able to hit metrics and just lagging behind what your competitors are doing, that stuff starts to go away, right? And so I think, yeah, the one thing I would say is, like, we try to set reasonable expectations. Like, we aren't in a system of engagement. We're not a system of intelligence. So we don't hold ourselves accountable to delivering, like, campaign-centric results. This is about core infrastructure that ultimately simplifies the collection as well as the dissemination of data. And the benefits, you will see some things in the short term, but a lot of it happens kind of over the course of the company life cycle.
That's too bad, man, because magic sells a lot better than technology. So if you could just sell me some magic, I'd pay a lot of money for that.
Cool. Exactly.
So one last question for you. When you go into a company, and most of our listeners are working at large businesses or small businesses, but you often wonder, you know, as you're working on it, am I doing a good job? And so when you look, as somebody who works with tons of data-driven businesses, when you look at a company, what are you looking for to decide if they're a good data-driven company? company or not, that they're using data effectively? Are there signs or criteria you look for that everybody that are is a listener here can apply to their own experience to see if they're doing a good job?
Yeah, that's a great question. The leading indicators that we typically look for are the number of partners that people are working with, and there's a bunch of different third party tools that we use to research this, from guys like Mighty Signal to Datanize, Apptopia, App Annie, bunch of different folks, right? And so ultimately what we're looking for is, what is the level of sophistication across the marketing and analytics organization? If a company only runs marketing campaigns on, say, Google or just Facebook, and they aren't doing anything to engage their customers or analyze the user experience, and there's no cross-channel or omni-channel approach, probably not a great fit for mParticle. The types of customers that we work with are large brands who have either multi-screen or omni-channel approaches to driving campaign and business results, and have a really sophisticated approach to data, to analytics, and business intelligence. And so you can see that through the types of tools that they've adopted. We know if there's a handful or more tools that people are using, they're probably a good fit for mParticle. If it's one or two, it's probably not.
Sounds good. And where can people find you online or information about mParticle if they want to learn more?
Absolutely. So go to www.mParticle.com, or you can check us out on Twitter at mParticles with an S. We're constantly posting the latest and greatest as it relates to data, mobile marketing, business intelligence, analytics, so on and so forth. So check us out.
Very cool. Michael, thanks for joining us today. This was awesome.
Awesome, man. Thank you.
Thanks for joining us for another data-driven discussion. If you want to learn more ways to use data in your business, you can subscribe to our free newsletter, The Data Driven Daily, which provides a daily tip on using data to make better decisions. You can find it on our website, outlier.ai. If you found this podcast useful, please spread the word. Tell everybody you know. We'll be back with more data-driven insights soon.